In a world that's perfect, lies a perfect little town where one team stands alone. But now, something's stirring that will change this place forever.
Perfectville.
Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast for your Miami Dolphins, now part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I am Sam Marcoux, and he is the two-time, yes, two-time Hall of Famer, Mr. Christopher Cullen. Chris, how the hell are you, my friend?
Very good, man. Always good to be back on the mic with you, man. How are you?
I am doing fine, and I'm going to say happy belated birthday to the two-time Hall of Famer. You turned a year older about a week ago, yes?
Yeah, a week and 2 days ago on February 26th.
Yeah, I was actually in Florida. I was in Tampa Bay doing a corporate gig, and then I was golfing later that week and hit a ball into the water and went over there. I'm like, oh, look at all the baby alligators with my buddy. And like at the same time, we were both like, wait, baby alligators equals, and then bubble. Here comes mama, about an 8-foot freaking long alligator just pops up. It's like, what's up, boys? How you doing? We're like, we'll take the drop and move on. We want nothing to do with your baby dragons here. So
if there's ever a time for a mulligan, that's it. I went to school in Florida, and they literally taught you in home ec class how to run away from an alligator and stay away from their nests. That's a few times they get really defensive.
Yeah, I was told you're supposed to run in a zigzag motion.
Zigzag, yep.
Yeah. And one of my friends, he's Scottish, right? So he comes out of the hotel room, and there's like a 7-foot long alligator just chilling right out there. And he immediately got on to, in the resort that I was staying at, Chris. You couldn't walk anywhere. You actually had to take a shuttle to everything because it was so spread out. And like to go to from the room to the lobby bar was like 2 miles. So you just call and get a shuttle. So he walks out. He sees this.
Is it a hotel or a neighborhood?
We were just staying at somebody's house. It's actually where they have the PGA Tour, the Valspar Classic that's going on there in about a week. It was staying at the same resort that they all stay at. And I'm with my buddy Mark, and he's from Scotland originally, and he very calmly walks out there, sees the alligator, and comes back in and picks up the phone, and they're like, "Hello, sir, how can we help you?" He's like, "Yes, there's a fucking dragon outside of my room right now." And they're like, "Excuse me?" He goes, I believe I was clear when I said that there's a fucking dragon outside of my room right now." And they were like, "Do you need a shuttle?" He's like, "I don't need a shuttle. I need a gun or some sort of saber to kill the dragon.
I need a broom to fly away from here like a wizard."
It's just like, what the fuck? And, you know, he's Scottish, so they're like, you know, of course they're like, "Well, sir, don't you just deal with dragons on a daily basis from where you're from, you know?"
Put on your kilt and take care of it.
Yeah, so that's what I did for your birthday. I celebrated by almost getting eaten by a monster dinosaur that shouldn't even be on this planet anymore, but there they were. So anyway, nice. Happy birthday to Christopher Cullen, the co-founder of the town of Perfectville here, along with myself. And we're not here to talk about alligators. We're here to talk about dolphins and porpoises and our favorite franchise of all time, the Miami Dolphins. Chris, anything going on in the news for the Miami Dolphins that you'd like to bring up on this episode?
Well, I got my newspaper here. Let me take a look.
The last newspaper on Earth right there.
Yep, last one. Like to keep it safe and sound. Wow, yeah, lots of news. Holy shit. So we just cut Andre Branch and Ted Larson. Ooh. They're gone.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Andre Branch and Ted Larson, both gone. You know, I don't really feel any, you know, sadness for either one of those two going. That's my initial gut reaction as I'm thinking and learning about this right now here, Chris. Ted Larson has been a disappointment for 2 years. He was pretty much a cancer in the locker room last year, just bitching publicly all the way around that how he should be gotten more playing time. And Andre Branch, after his first year here, signed a ginormous contract and really didn't do too much after that. I think he had 24 sacks in 3 seasons, if I'm not mistaken. That might even be too many. I don't think he had quite that many. What are your thoughts of those two being gone from the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, at this point, I'm numb to anything that happens in the future for our big stars, let alone these guys. So Ted Larson, Andre Branch, goodbye from Perfectville. I really have nothing else to say. I don't care. I'm numb.
No, you're right. That's what we usually say here when the guys are gone. Goodbye from Perfectville. And that's exactly what it is. So, well, the house is starting to get a little cleaner. We're starting to see that perhaps maybe we're not going to tank. There's a lot of talk about how we will not be tanking this season. but we're not going to hang on to a lot of veterans who aren't performing and bloated contracts. I mean, not only did we see Andre Branch be cut, not only have we seen Ted Larson get cut, not only are we going to see Ryan Tannehill go away at some point, I'm also hearing rumors that we are in trade discussions to get Robert Quinn, who we traded for last season, and we had an up and down season for us, but again, another pricey veteran. Looks like they're trying to find trade partners to somebody to take Robert Quinn off our hands as well. So a lot of these high-priced veterans that have been around for a number of years here, Chris, seem to be going away.
Yeah, it makes plenty of sense when you even if Chris Greer's not going to admit that we're tanking or that we're in rebuild mode or retooling, whatever they want to call it. This is clearly just something where they're clearing off the things that weren't working. They're getting overpriced, getting overpaid for the production they're getting. And this is something I put on my notes, Sam. And yes, I took notes. We've been away for so long that I was excited to plan for the show. But this is the Patriot way. And we're bringing a lot of coaches here from that franchise. And a lot of teams aspire to be them, to be the Patriots. I mean, they have been the pinnacle of this league since we were literally teenagers, Sam. And here we are now in our 30s, and they're still the Patriots, still doing what they do. So, of course, that's what you want to aspire to be. However, the only difference of us getting Flores is he's actually brought other guys with him.
Yeah.
You know, when Crennel left and Charlie Weiss left and McDaniels left, Belichick locked down everyone else and promoted them from within so they couldn't be taken. Flores has brought in just a flurry of guys. And the ones that aren't Patriots, the Graham of the world, the defense coordinator, is like a Yale graduate from the Green Bay Packers. So we're bringing a top-notch franchise guy. So things are going to change. No longer are we throwing money blindly at old, degenerating veterans hoping they can come in and give us a spark for one or two seasons. It's time to build this in the draft, do it the right way. Chris Greer's got his hands on the reins, and this is the Patriot way. You can't name, other than Tom Brady, really superstars that any team would just drool over having. There's no one there. They build it with core guys that come to work, put their nose down, gritty, dirty type guys that'll work hard both on and off the field and the film room. That's the Patriot way. So getting rid of Robert Quinn, who the team that went to the Super Bowl NFC thought it was fine to trade for a fifth or sixth round pick, whatever they gave up for. Obviously, we don't need them either. They don't need them. We don't, because we're not looking to be a bottom tier AFC's team anymore. We're looking to be the best, and that takes building. And Robert Quinn and Andre Branch and Ted Larson just do not fit in that model.
Yeah, so you mentioned something, then that's where I was kind of going to go next. So thank you for the lob here on the Slow Pitch Softball edition of Perfect Veil. But you talked about getting gritty, hardworking guys, getting those guys that do the dirty work and don't mind, you know, not having to take a shower right away. There's a couple guys here that are in limbo that I think do fit that mold, because I agree with you. I think Ted Larson doesn't really fit that mold. Andre Branch never really fit that mold at all on any level. I don't think he was ever a guy that seemed like a Miami Dolphin, even though he was here for 3 years. But there's a couple guys out there that I think Miami Dolphins fans respect. One that's been here an extremely long time, and one that's been here for one season. One that plays defense, one that plays offense, one that is for sure going to the Hall of Fame, and one that I think most Dolphins fans would think should go to the Hall of Fame and will for sure be in the Ring of Honor at some point. But here's where I'm going. Cameron Wake, apparently, according to the Miami Herald and others, looks to be like he might have played his last snap with the Miami Dolphins, at least with this run. Number 91 might be going elsewhere next year, at least from if you believe everything that's popping up here on the internet and through the newspaper that you were reading right now. And another one, Frank Gore, a veteran running back who came back home to have a retirement season with the Miami Dolphins, is looking to play another season. And from everything I'm reading, Chris, the Miami Dolphins are flat out saying, we don't know if we want him back or not, which is, in my opinion, you're basically saying, we don't want you back, because if you wanted him back, you would just take care of it because he's willing to come back and play. And it doesn't seem like the Miami Dolphins are willing to do that yet, unless all their other options, you know, dry up in front of them. So what are your thoughts on Cameron Wake and Frank Gore possibly going elsewhere in 2019?
I'll start with the easier one. Frank Gore is not a Miami Dolphin per se. Yes, sure. He's from Miami, played in college. He was with us one season. He's a Colt. He's a 49er. Like, that's his career legacy. This is like us getting Arian Foster. So, except Frank Gore actually was productive for us.
Sure.
Now, I love Frank Gore. I love him to death. I'm a Miami Hurricane fan. But if he's too expensive and these guys come in and they see Kenyon Drake, They see Kalen Ballage, and they see someone like a Duke Johnson available from the Browns that we bring in O'Shea, this offensive coordinator, the Patriot way, running backs out of the backfield, running back by committee. Frank Gore doesn't fit our plans. He's not going to be here. We're not winning a Super Bowl next year. We know that. He knows that. Yes, he loves the weather. Yes, he loves his son being down there and his family. Sorry, Frank, this isn't a 55 and older community where you can just plant your – and I love him, but if he's too much money and it can go elsewhere, you just let him walk. And I hate to say that, but that's just the way it goes. We're not winning a Super Bowl. We're not going to be competitive, and we don't need him. Like, I hate to say – like, we don't need him, like, because he's not going to help us. All he's going to do, honestly, is break – have a couple 200-yard games and just, like, luck us into a couple victories that keep us out of the top fucking pick, and that'll just annoy everybody. So – Frank Gore, I love you to death, but no. Like, if you're too much money, just walk.
And before Cam, before you get to yeah. Cam Wake, I just want to say, fuck you, and I'm going to rescind your birthday wishes, because wow. Frank Gore is younger than I am, and you just called him a 55 and older community, and we don't need your old ass here. How dare you?
In football years, Sam, football years. If you're 29, you're old in football. You're a fucking young sprout in the real world. But
sorry.
In NFL, right. Yeah, and especially running back years and the injuries he's had. I mean, come on, we're done. So sorry about that. Didn't mean to offend you, Sam.
I apologize for the swearing, but as you know, in my old age, I get senile and I start just cussing for no reason.
Can you untake back my birthday wish? Like, good Lord.
I'm going to.
That seemed aggressive.
It's like a reverse vasectomy, right? Reversing the vasectomy like they did on the
untie the tubes.
I'm going to untie the tubes and bring you back another birthday. So yes, happy Yay. Birthday. One
I got
more
two.
Time. There you go. You're a two-time birthday champion now.
Of course I am. The
two-time Hall of Famer and the two-time birthday wisher. All right, I interrupted you because I'm old and that's what I do. Let's hear about Cameron Wake, the hard version of these two.
Cam Wake. Sam, Cam Wake looks to be gone, and this is sad. He's got 98 sacks. He's two away from 100. He's 37 years old. Supposedly, he's second in the team with sacks all-time, franchise history, behind, of course, Jason Taylor. This is a guy that we have watched play special teams, blocking key blocks on Ted Ginn's two kickoff returns for touchdowns against the Jets that one season. A guy that learned under Jason Taylor, that was basically a nobody, a CFL cast off. He was best known for his viral video of jumping up to catch a $20 bill stuck in a ceiling. He was just a nobody that was a fan favorite that everybody really was cheering for to make the team, and turned into the second leading sack leader in Miami Dolphins history, franchise history, and is an absolute stout, loyal fan favorite. He is the Udonis Haslam of the Miami Dolphins. He is just... took pay cuts. He's loyal. He sticks with the team. He works hard. He's no nonsense. He takes rookies under his wings, regardless if they can take his job or not. He is the Udonis Haslam of the Miami Dolphins, and it's looking to be coming to an end. And Sam, I don't care what anyone says, he didn't really drop off. Yes, he got his snaps cut a lot last year. 800 to 900 snaps for a pass rusher, premier pass rusher, is the norm. He had about 400 or 500 snaps, so he was well below that and had 6 or 7 sacks, I think, in 13 or 14 games. So, yeah, he wasn't 11, 12 sacks, but his PFF grades were pretty damn good. They're better than the season he had before his Achilles injury. They're better than last year, which he had a good year. I mean, he's a good player still at 37 years old, and he's going to go to a really good team. Look at the Rams with Sue and Donald. You know, a team like Philadelphia, where he can be a situational pass rusher on a last-minute drive or a two-minute situation where he can wreak some havoc, because we know he's a hard worker. Work ethic's amazing. He loves Miami, loves the team, but it just comes to the time he's going to walk. And honestly, Sam, it's a sad day, because that's going to be the last current player, once Tannehill's gone as well, of a jersey I actually have of a player. So it's terrible.
Yeah, you know, you said he's the Udonis Haslam, which, you know, that's an appropriate one. I would go one further, and I'm just gonna put it out there. He is the Dan Marino of the Miami Dolphins defense. In terms of when you think of Dan Marino, you know, Dolphins will say he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, you could make that argument, but he's definitely the greatest pure passer of all time. And if you look at Cameron Wake, he's not the greatest defensive end of all time, but for the Miami Dolphins, he's probably the best pure pass rusher of all time. And that includes Jason Taylor, by the way. I mean, it just the level of physicality that this guy was able to get off the ball. I mean, half of the sacks that he's had, if you go back and watch, Chris, they look like he jumped off sides, because he timed it so just precisely, and he was so fast that you look like he just got a, you know, he had an unfair advantage in many, many ways. And the fact that he only has 98 sacks, if they actually called holding the way they did and deterred offensive linemen from holding because they would be penalized as they're supposed to, he would probably have 150 sacks. And that is no lie. This guy has been robbed of the pretty stats for so long. I have never seen somebody bend the way he bends and get off the line the way he gets off the line. He might be the best pure pass rusher the Miami Dolphins have ever had. And there's a lot of just similarities between him and Dan Marino with regards to their career with the Miami Dolphins. Sure, Dan Marino was the first round pick, and he was kind of picked off the scrap heap here after going to the CFL and flaming out with the Giants. Sure, you know, one is the quarterback and one's a defensive end. But yeah, I mean, they just did not have, you know, the team success that we think they probably should have. But the talent, man, it's still there. I mean, when Dan Marino retired, he could still throw a football at the NFL level. Cam Wake can still play football at the NFL level. Maybe not at the same, you know, pace. You know, he is going to have to be limited, but my God, if he goes somewhere that has a defense that's just looking for a situational pass rusher that might be able to win them a game, because he can do that, and, you know, look no further than the walk-off sack that turned into a safety on Halloween against the Bengals a few years ago. This guy can literally win you a game while playing defense. I mean, that's how good he is. I don't know where he goes. I hope he continues to play. Even if he went, and I hate to say it, if he went to the Jets or the Patriots or the Bills, I have a hard time rooting against him. I would root for him, you know, root against him for two games. But other than that, I have nothing but respect for Cam Wake. For some reason, I don't know why, but in my head, he makes sense for the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm not sure why that is. He just seems like a guy that would show up there and play his ass off for a season or maybe two and be that guy that goes out there and gets them 4, 5, 6 sacks while playing 300, 400 snaps. I mean, I think they could utilize his talents correctly. And I will be sad because I'm like you. The two players that are current that I still have a jersey of are Cam Wake in a throwback and Ryan Tannehill. And it looks like both of those are going to be museum pieces here before too long.
Yeah, and even worse, I have Tannehill's hanging up in my man cave, so I have to redecorate. Fucking thanks. But yeah, back to your thing. I hate you for it because I had written down next to Cam Wake's name, Ravens, Steelers, I can see him going to either team. Mike Tomlin or John Harbaugh would just like love to have this kind of player. Locker room fucking god. He's a locker room god. Like, everybody respects him. He's in first, out last. That's the kind of guy you want. His work ethic, situational. Those cities would embrace the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah.
Those fan bases would just absolutely fucking love old man jacked Cam Wake. He would look disgusting in a Ravens uniform. Honestly, even a Steelers uniform, too. They all black, and he's just, you know, oh, Jesus. This is one of those things you do a fantasy draft on Madden, and you see him, and you're like, oh, that looks weird, but it looks awesome. I can see it happening, and especially the Ravens. I put an asterisk next to it, too, because there's rumors that T-Sizzle, Terrell Suggs, is walking. They're going to let him walk. And I could see him taking less and really filling that role of Terrell Suggs in that Ravens defense as a part-time piece. And if he does that, I can see him going and having much success. So I agree with you. It's going to be very, very much bitter and very less sweet to see Cam Wake in a different uniform, because God damn it, man, he deserved to retire here and be way more successful as a team, because he deserved it. He worked hard. If everybody worked as hard as Cam Wake, we'd have been perennial Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, and Cam Wake will retire a Miami Dolphin. I think we all know that, but I know what you're saying. I mean, having that continuous run until it's time to officially hang them up. I mean, he makes sense for so many teams, and that's how you know he still has talent, because I could see him on the Chiefs. I mean, they need help on defense. Why would you not bring him in? I mean, they're that close to winning a Super Bowl. That could be one of those missing pieces, along with Eric Weddle, who was just cut by the Baltimore Ravens as well. I could see him with the Chargers. I could see him with the New Orleans Saints. Make a lot of sense. On some level, the Carolina Panthers make some sense to bring him in as well. I mean, there's so many teams. I mean, we just, between the two of us, rattled off about 10 teams that make sense where Cam and Wake could actually go in.
But you just said the Saints, man. Him with Cam Jordan, like, oh my God, in the dome where he can get that get off on that turf. Good Lord, man. I would actually like that, because I don't mind the Saints at all. They don't play the Dolphins a lot. I don't care. Drew Brees. I would love to see Drew Brees get a Super Bowl and Cam White get a ring with Ted Ginn. How funny would that be?
That would just be the most. You would see Miami Dolphins everywhere. Yeah. We would just climb to the top of the tallest building in our respective towns and just fall off. Can you imagine?
Should be Dolphins quarterback, first round bust Ted Ginn, an undrafted god Cam Wake that never won the big one with us, all winning a Super Bowl with the Saints. Oh my God!
If that happened, they'd hand the Lombardi Trophy to Ted Ginn and he would just drop it because it'd be it'd be too easy. You know, they'd have to actually have to hand it to him on a reverse or kick it off to him, and then he would actually do something with it. But
those and not the passes. That's the thing. It's a crazy. Sam, mark this episode. Fans, mark this episode. The Saints win the Super Bowl next year with Cam Wake. Give us money. I just want money. Start a GoFundMe because we completely predicted this. It's going to happen.
And even if they don't win, what I want is I want a T-shirt design of Ted Ginn dropping the Vince Lombardi Trophy. That's what I want as a T-shirt design, and just the hashtag Perfectville underneath, like a silhouette of Ted Ginn with his hands outstretched and the Lombardi Trophy just bouncing off with the little broken lines behind it, like boom, 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 and then Perfectville. That's what I want. Him in a Saints jersey doing that. But no, I agree with you, man. I mean, it's going to be a weird feeling. Like just picturing Cameron Wake in a Kansas City Chiefs jersey, for example, it seems weird. Like it didn't him in red and white and yellow. I mean, it's just like, you know, there's this humongous guy just covered in ketchup and mustard. It doesn't make sense. You know, I don't know if I'd want to see that, but him in a Ravens jersey, I mean, he kind of would look like Terrell Suggs in a way, you know, you know, putting him in Steelers country. I think if he goes anywhere though, because he is a little bit older, it might make sense for him to go to a warm weather climate, you know, the Chargers or
Mike Pouncey's probably on the phone right now calling him like, bro, we're one or two guys away. You know, we made it far last year. The coach knows what he's doing. Get out here. It's warm weather. Like you said, you don't have to worry about your joints or anything like that.
Yeah.
Mike Pouncey might come to be a big part of it, even if it's never unraveled. But I can see that being a big deal with Cam Wake.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers are a really good team, as you saw last year, where they go 11-5, 12-4, something like that. I mean, their defense has always been kind of the issue, but they have some good pieces over there. And if you throw a veteran in like him who gets you 4, 5, 6 sacks and is that specialist, that would make a lot of sense in the world. And again, I don't hate the Chargers. It's in Los Angeles. The weather's going to be good. I would root for them. I would openly root for the Chargers. Chargers if the Miami Dolphins are, you know, mathematically eliminated by week two, as we expect them to be.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I'm going to have to start finding allegiances elsewhere. And the Los Angeles Rams with Ndamukong Suh and Los Angeles Chargers with Cam Wake would make a lot of sense to me anyways. Speaking of which, you know, we did talk about Ryan Tannehill a little bit. We've talked a lot about him over the last 3 years of this show. But we talked a lot about Kyler Murray, Chris. And it looks like now the guy that we thought we would get at number 13, and everyone was kind of wondering, well, would we want to spend, you know, the number 13 pick on a guy who's about as tall as a 13-year-old? Now looks like he's going to go number one overall to the Arizona Cardinals, at least if you believe, again, the rumor and innuendo on the internet. Which means that option for a first-round quarterback seems to be dwindling away, which means now more than ever the Miami Dolphins are going to need a Band-Aid for 2019. We did this on the last episode, Chris. We're going to do it again because it was a hit. I don't know if anybody else liked it, but I love this game. It is time for Name That Band-Aid.
All right, Sam, so here we go. My Band-Aid for the week is a guy I could see totally coming in and fitting with this offense and doing some good things. I'm a journeyman quarterback, okay? Mm. Played for more than three teams.
Oh.
I am younger than me and you.
Okay.
Okay, you keep that in mind.
Got it.
Late round draft pick, but I'm a goddamn Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl winner.
Wow.
Who am I?
So we've got a late round draft pick. He's younger than you and I, which means he's in his late 20s or early 30s. He's played for more than three teams, and he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Now, let me ask you a follow-up question. Was he a winning quarterback who played?
No.
No, so he was just on the team. He was on the
roster. That's right. Good question.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so he was a late-round pick. Does this guy have a lot of playing experience?
Yes, tons.
He has a ton of... It's not Drew Stanton. He was an early, and I don't think he's ever won a game in the NFL, let alone a Super Bowl, even on the bench. We know it's not Joe Flacco. We know it's not Teddy Bridgewater, because we already crossed that bridge, if you will.
I'll give you a hint. Or maybe I should. Yeah, I'll give you a hint. You're really warm with Joe Flacco.
Oh, okay. So we're really warm with Joe Flacco. So that's a journeyman. So Joe Flacco's technically only played for one team so far. So we know it's not Joe Flacco.
But it's warm for other reasons, yeah.
But it's warm for other reasons. How many other quarterbacks have been knocked the fuck out by Kiko Alonso? Who else has been knocked out cold and then ordered the check at the restaurant while sleeping on the field? Okay. I'm going to go with this. I got a pick here. Oh, no, that doesn't fit. Damn it. Okay, so we're warm with Joe Flacco. And that means it can only be Terrell Pryor.
Ooh, no, sir. Starts with the first letter, but here we go.
Josh McCown.
No.
Damn
it. It starts with the first letter with Terrell. Oh. It starts with a T.
I misinformed myself.
Sorry. You're warm with Joe Flacco because he was Joe Flacco's backup when they won the Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens.
Ah.
He has torched the Miami Dolphins every time he played them with the Buffalo Bills starter for years.
Ah.
I'm talking about soon-to-be free agent from the Cleveland Browns, Tarod Taylor. He is a Pro Bowler, one-time Pro Bowler, one-time Super Bowl winning quarterback with the Baltimore Ravens. He lost his spot to first-round draft pick, and Miami Dolphins fans love Baker Mayfield last year. He is going to be a free agent. Who better to bring in than Tarod Taylor, who absolutely owns our ass on a fucking platter. Can never sack him, can never stop him. Good for every fourth quarter comeback victory you can imagine. Bring him in. We win some, fine. If we lose, great. Tank for Tua. Bring in Tarod. Make sure you say his name right, Omar Kelly, or you'll be on the shit list immediately.
You know, the Los Angeles Dodgers years ago traded for a very old Jim Eisenreich, and it was seemed like a bizarre trade at the time because you're like, this guy's 58 years old. He's not going to do anything. And the general manager came out and said, have you seen Jim Eisenreich's stats against the Los Angeles Dodgers? We're going to win four games more just by simply having him sit on our bench and not on somebody else's. It was like a very defensive trade where they're like, we're going to play this guy eight more times the rest of the year. He kicks the shit out of the Los Angeles Dodgers. We're trading for him and putting him in the locker room so that he can't whoop the crap out of us. That's a little bit how Tarod Taylor is for the Miami Dolphins. I agree with you. I remember when he burst onto the scene, it was against the Miami Dolphins, and we were thinking, oh, good, EJ Manuel, the first, you know, number one pick for the Buffalo Bills, was out injured, if I'm not mistaken. And we're thinking, oh, ha, 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 we got this late-round rookie who isn't going to do anything. And he went out and just whooped the shit out of us like he always did after that. So you're right. He has absolutely owned the Miami Dolphins. For that reason and that reason alone, I don't want him anywhere near the Miami Dolphins. But thinking like the Los Angeles Dodgers do, that might make sense to say, well, what are his other options? Are we playing any of those teams next year? Because if so, we might want to have him on our team and just make sure that we guarantee that we at least have a shot at winning that game. Because if he's on the other team, we have no shot whatsoever. I don't know. I don't, you know, Tarod Taylor, I kind of fall into that camp as everyone else in that I'm not a believer in him. I've never been a believer in him. He always seems like fool's gold to me. And I feel like if he came to the Miami Dolphins, he would prove that because that's just the luck of the Miami Dolphins. However, he's not a bad option. Again, if we're talking about a Band-Aid, a 1 year or 2 year, you know, patch, he's as good as anybody else. He's not going to be that expensive. He's probably going to be looking at very minimal opportunities to be a starting quarterback in 2019. The Miami Dolphins happen to have an opening. I could see that, especially if we don't have any other options available to us because people are getting traded left and right or signing with other teams before they're even legally able to talk to them. Yeah, I could see that. That's definitely somebody you put into the pile. He wouldn't be my number one choice, but why not? You know, if you're looking around come mid to late March and you still don't have a quarterback, you kind of go, well, let's bring him in. I could see that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's my whole thing is that it might get to the point where like we both need each other.
Yeah.
No one's going to come here. No one's going to sign him. And we're going to be like, hey, Tarod, knock, knock, knock. You want to play some quarterback in Miami in South Beach? And you can be guaranteed Cam Wake won't sack you because he never touches you when you play him. So even if he's on the Chargers or the Steelers or Ravens, we play him, we're guaranteed to beat him with Taylor because Cam Wake never can get to him at all, and he always slips out. So, yeah, it could be one of those things where, like, we're just forced marriage into each other.
Yeah. No, I again, you put him in the pile with Teddy Bridgewater. We talked about him. You look at some of the other options that are drying up. We talked about Joe Flacco being traded to the Broncos. Case Keenum is now being traded from the Broncos, as you mentioned to me, to the Washington Redskins. So he's not really an option that's out there anymore. The backup quarterback for the Eagles, who actually should be their starting quarterback, looks like he's going to be signing with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's a good move.
You know, yeah, that's just, why don't you just announce retirement at that point? It's just like, what are you doing? Other than Mark Brunel, nobody, and he can't retire because he lost all his money in that Ponzi scheme. No other quarterback has ever had any success at all other than what? Byron Leftwich had that one game against that one team that one time. And that's about it. I mean, good God. Being a quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, fuck, dude. No, thank you. I'd rather do anything else than that. I'd rather slide down a rusty razor blade into a pool of acid than deal with that shit. But you know what? Whatever. He's getting the money and he's going to get a starting gig, so good for him. Point is, there's not a lot of options right now that are out there. So you look at Teddy Bridgewater, who I love that as a Band-Aid, and you look at Tyrod Taylor. On the surface, not my top pick, but it's slim pickings out there, man. So that might be the veteran that you take a look at and take a flyer on. Absolutely.
Yeah, we got plenty of weeks to keep doing this, but that's another Band-Aid for us to look at.
Absolutely. The Tyrod Taylor Band-Aid. And, man, can you imagine the quarterback debates that we would see on Twitter and Reddit and Facebook and everywhere else with the Miami Dolphins if Tyrod Taylor comes here and actually balls out a couple of weeks? All of a sudden, you're going to have a massive debate as to whether he is the future or not. So,
Yeah, he's only 29. I mean, like, he really is not that old.
Well, according to you, that's ancient when it comes to NFL football.
Not quarterback. Sorry, yeah. There's another asterisk.
Yeah, I'm over here poking you in the ribs with my cane after that comment. Okay, so that was Name That Band-Aid. That's another good one. I'm bad at this game, Chris. I'm realizing that I don't really know a lot of Band-Aids out there. I keep thinking it's going to be one guy over and over and over again, and you haven't mentioned his name
Stanton's
at all.
Drew Stanton's like 50, so.
Yeah, I was like, Drew Stanton. It's got to be Drew Stanton. Actually, when you said it was, this is how stupid I am. You're like, you're close with Joe Flacco, and I'm like, Trent Dilfer. That's who it is. That's who he's talking about.
Tony Banks.
Tony Banks. Yeah, I was completely off. I'm just not good at this game, but that's okay. Maybe somebody out there is good, and they're 2 for 2 when it comes to Name That Band-Aid. Chris, what else is going on with the Miami Dolphins or Chris Cullen right now, right here?
Sam, I'll be right back. Gotta pee.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There is the update of the week. So we talked about Name That Band-Aid. We talked about Cam Wake going away. Sadly, we talked about Frank Gore being older than shit, according to Chris Cullen, and can take his Walker ass over to another team and nobody would ever care, according to Chris Cullen. Again, Ted Larson gone. Andre Branch gone. Robert Quinn possibly traded before too long. Ryan Tannehill, the teams are trying to find trade partners for him, which I don't think is going to happen. But you see all these veterans with all these price tags going away. But the number one update that I want all of you, after I've just reviewed everything that we've talked about here on this episode of Perfectville, that the number one update that I want all of you to take away is that Chris Cullen will be right back because he has to pee. You know what? I got to pee too. But I'm going to take the microphone with me because I'm a professional, Chris. And I'm going to take the microphone with me when I go into the bathroom to go pee-pee because that's what you do when you are the damn mayor of Perfectville, which, by the way, is now and has been a member of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. You can capture all kinds of podcasts at DolphinsTalk.com, as well as the latest news and views with all your blogs and all your podcasts. Fins Up, Fans Down, the flagship show, Dolphins Talk, and of course, welcome to Perfectville. With Sam Marcou and the two-time Hall of Famer, Chris Cullen, who also has had two birthday wishes on this episode of Perfectville. And this is a long piss by Chris Cullen.
Later.
Oh, holy shit.
I heard you talking, man. So hold on a second. I got a story. So I come in, my son's sitting in my seat. And he's got a pencil in his ear, and he's got my phone in his hand. And he's like, uh-huh, good, yeah, that's a good one. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm doing my podcast. I'm like, Zachary, you're lucky I muted you, or Sam would be recording you right now. And he's like, hit unmute. I'll talk. And I'm like, no, dude, get out of here. Like, I'm doing a show. And he's like, oh, you ruined my podcast. And he gets up and walks out of the office. Like,
if you turned the mic on and I'd heard Zach instead of you, I probably would have, I used to say shit out of my dick. I would have pissed out of my butt because that would have scared the crap out of me.
Hey, Sam, how are you?
I would have just thrown the microphone through the window and ran away. And no one, you would be like, what happened? It just went silent on the other end. You would have no idea. But I would
have had to end the show also.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, is there anything else Miami Dolphins related here, Chris, that we need to talk about? Or could we, you know, punt, if you will, to the, by the way, you know what? I am going to bring this up. Did you see the name of the kicker that the Chicago Bears have signed? His last name is Blue. You just cut Cody Parkey because he blew it 8 million times throughout the season. It's got to be a sick joke that they got a guy whose last name is Blewett, right?
This guy will be having tryouts the rest of the season against other guys. There's no way this is for real. This is all a sick joke. You're absolutely right.
And I got to say, and I'm confident when I say this, and I'm going to stick our neck out there, our collective necks out there, and I'm going to challenge anyone to find a podcast that talks about NFL kickers as much as Chris Cullen and Sam Marcoux. We talk about our kicker battles. We talk about Cody Parkey. We talk about that shithead Mark Royals, who was a punter for us, who blew it against the New England Patriots and cost us the playoffs. He's the worst. That was also Dave Wannstedt. We talk about Blewett. We talk about Sebastian Janikowski, who's about the size of four elephants fucking. He's humongous. We've got all of these guys that we talk about. Other people might be able to break down quarterback play. People might be able to tell you why Duke Johnson makes a lot of sense in the new offense that we're going to get. Somebody out there will break down and tell you why Cameron Wake makes the most sense on whatever team he's going to go to. We don't bring you that. We bring you the scrutiny of the motherfucking kickers of the NFL. And for that, you're welcome, yeah, citizens of Perfectville.
What other podcast has a fucking catchphrase like we do with Cody Parkey?
Yeah.
No one. And like you said, I am confident in knowing that we have put in, we need to just do an entire episode and just almost like Super Bowl row, where we just have multiple. We have to get the Grammatica brothers on the show.
Oh, absolutely. They'll just dance right over and snap their knee while trying
let's
to talk
to
us.
Let's get them on the show.
Yeah.
Let's get them on the show. Let's get Orlando Mari on the show. I met him once at Pete Rose Ballpark Cafe in Boca Raton that's closed down years ago for probably gambling. And we have to get him on the show. We have to get Matt Turk on the show because of his ridiculous face mask. That was just one bar down towards like his dick. Like, it did nothing. There was no point to that face mask.
The face mask also doubled as his jock strap, the way it was actually hanging down. It was holding his nuts and making sure he didn't get a concussion by getting speared.
I
got to
get him on the show. Get him on the show just to ask him, like, why? What's the point? Why not go without the bar? Like, it's pointless.
We could get Morton Anderson and Gary Anderson and then try to guess which one is which, because I have no fucking clue.
And then at the same time, we can get Jay Feely and AJ Feely on the show and try to decipher between the two.
Yeah, we'll have one kick and one throw. Maybe they were just miscast. Maybe Jay Feely was actually a really good quarterback and AJ Feely was a kicker, and we just fucked it up and put him in the wrong position here. Maybe we screwed it up on our end. We could also go punters. We could talk about Reggie Roby. Well, he's dead, so no, we can't talk to Reggie Roby. But we could talk to a bunch of others. I'm drawing a blank on all. Shane
Brandon
Leckler,
Fields. Brandon Fields.
He's got a brewery in like the Ohio area right now. We could talk to Shane Leckler and be like, what's it like to be a punter who gets $1 billion from the Oakland freaking Raiders? But that's the kind of level of scrutiny that we have here, Chris. We talk about kickers. We talk about punters. Screw the wide receivers. We don't know anything about tight ends. Building from within the trenches. No, that's boring. We're talking about long bombs, baby. 45 yards, 55 yards, wide left, wide right, doinking it off the crossbar. That's our wheelhouse, ladies and gentlemen. That is the legacy of Perfectville.
Well, that, and I think I'd be confident in saying we've talked more about John Denny, a long snapper, than
special
any
teams.
Other. Yeah, so we're a special team. We are the Darren Rizzi of podcasts. We make the faces. We're crazy. We're weird. We hate teams that trip our kick or our kick return guys. We are the special teams of podcasts, and we fucking love it, and you're welcome.
We are the specialist of special podcasts out there, and the Darren Rizzi is apt, because at first nobody liked us, Chris, but we hung around so long that everyone now thinks we're geniuses. We are the podcast version of Darren Rizzi. Just like we planned. They're like, you're not very smart. Oh, you just wait. Eventually.
We're going to start this revolution. We'll be the first. Yep. And then everyone else will get better. But you'll love us because we've been around the longest.
Look, we'll dumb you down to our level. And then you'll think that we're smart because of it. That's our plan. And it's working. It's absolutely working.
These are geniuses. All they talk about is fucking kickers and Band-Aids. Like, this is weird.
I swear to God, though, if somebody's out there is going to find the fucking podcast that talks about nothing. It's going to be called, like, Nothing But Kickers or Here's the Kicker or something like that.
Oh, and it'll be Raceling, and he's going to tweet us. I can't wait. Or fucking, Jesus Christ, there's so many fans that are going to do this.
And if you guys haven't figured it out yet, because we have dumbed you down, we don't know what to talk about. We're out of topics for this episode of Perfectville, so we are just bullshitting because we're contractually obligated to get to at least 40 minutes, and I think we've finally done it, Chris. We've iced our own selves, going back to kickers, and we've extended the thought process, and I feel like, even after icing ourselves here, that we have nailed it right through the uprights. So we did not.
We've nailed it.
Yeah, we didn't blew it. We didn't blow it. We didn't parky it. We very much Alindo Mari'd it in 2007, I would say.
Alindo Mari'd it off grass, not clay. Obviously, he can't kick off clay. So, Sam, I'll end it on this.
Is
Sam,
he playing tennis? Why clay?
he couldn't kick off the baseball field. Oh, remember, he would always miss?
Yeah.
Like, always. And that should have been a home field advantage. This motherfucker had plenty of time to practice on a baseball field, and they always missed.
He was like Andre Agassi, who could win Wimbledon and U.S. Open, but as soon as he went to the French Open and there was clay, he's like, I don't know how to hit the tennis ball, and he would just launch that thing into fucking Versailles or some shit.
I didn't even know how they begin to ask that you knew the French Open was on clay. Like, I didn't even know that. But I guess I need to get into my tennis.
I don't even know that it is. I think I just made some shit up. But nobody's going to check.
The French Open's golf, I think? No, I'm
look, I don't think there's a lot of Miami Dolphins podcast listeners that are also watching tennis. I would be shocked if that is a cross breed right there. Anyway, you had something of importance to say.
Real quick before we end it, Sam, name that team. Ooh. For Ryan Tannehill in 2019.
Ooh, okay, yeah, that
and
is a
why?
Good topic.
And why?
Okay, so here, this is good. I actually thought the Washington Redskins made a lot of sense for Ryan Tannehill. I thought that Ryan Tannehill, I've always said he's kind of like Alex Smith, so why not go and be like Alex Smith and break your leg on Monday night or whatever it is that Alex Smith did. But I think that is not going to be available to them. Here's a weird thing. I kind of think the Raiders might be in play for Ryan Tannehill.
Tannehill.
Exactly. The guy who says Tannehill. I could see John Gruden taking a flyer on somebody like Ryan Tannehill. I would not be surprised if the Arizona Cardinals decide to trade Josh Rosen and go with Kyler Murray. They're going to need a veteran. Could they bring in Ryan Tannehill to be that guy who just is basically, you know, a seat warmer until Kyler Murray is 100% ready to go? Do the Browns need a backup? Do the Steelers need a backup? I mean, Ben Roethlisberger's getting older and older and older. Do the Steelers make a lot of sense for Ryan Tannehill? The Tennessee Titans probably don't need him, but Mariota's hurt all the fucking time. Here's what I think he's going to be. There's 32 teams. He's going to be the 33rd quarterback. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to go where he's going to have the opportunity to be a starter as quickly as he possibly can. So if you're gun to my head and I'm going to pick one team, I'm going to go with... Oh, shit. I don't know. Let's go with the Arizona Cardinals. Final answer.
All right, that's your final answer. Here's my couple of walkthroughs, too. I got some my ideas. I like the Chiefs as a backup to Mahomes, right?
I
can see Andy Reid really liking this kind of guy that can, like, he can build the offense around him, things like that. I really like Jacksonville. So I follow Ryan Tannehill on Instagram, on Twitter. He's always on the boat. He's always at the beach. Him and Lauren and his children are always constantly out. Like, they just love the beach. So if he's going to have to leave Miami, what better than to go be Nick Foles' backup in Jacksonville? He's in the same state. No state income taxes. Fine. But here's the big one. All right. You ready for this one? And no one is mentioning this, and I can see it.
I think I know where you're going, but yes, I want to hear it.
I can see him going to either, and I'm going to name both, either the Dallas Cowboys
Ding.
Or the Houston Ding. Texans to Ding. Be injury, he had a bad injury, Deshaun Watson, be his backup, and he can be under Bill O'Brien, who is a Bill Belichick tree guy, who's already mentioned all the time how Tannehill makes the short to intermediate throws well and can really just find those reads and get the ball out quick. I can see him being Deshaun Watson's backup or being Dak Prescott's backup, not mascot.
Mascot? That'd be fun.
He can be the Dallas Cowboy mascot, too. He is from Texas.
Yes.
We saw it on Hard Knocks when the Dolphins were on Hard Knocks during his rookie year. He didn't know football other than Texas football, baby. That's all he knew. He didn't know the conferences. He didn't know the divisions in the NFL. It was all about high school and college football in Texas. I can see him going home. I can see him being a backup to one of those players and being one of those guys that can really be a fan favorite and push for playing time other than Jacksonville. What say you?
No, as soon as I said Cardinals, I was like, oh, shit. No, either you know, Dallas Cowboys or other Dallas Cowboys made a whole lot of sense to me. Yeah, the Houston Texans, I think, would make a ton of sense. And in a weird way, that was his first start of all, you know, in the NFL was against the Houston Texans. He is from Texas. I could see him making a home there, and I think there would be some opportunities for him to play significant amount of times behind either one of those quarterbacks. I'm going to throw another one out there because we mentioned it briefly, but I'm going to go with the wordplay here, and maybe a dark horse would be the Pittsburgh Steelers, just because it'd be kind of cool to be like, hey, you know what? My kid's name is Steel, and I'm playing for the Steel City for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I could see him going there and maybe just being the backup to Ben Roethlisberger, who's getting a little bit older, who we're not sure if he even wants to play anymore. Maybe he could go there. But I like that. I like that Dallas-Houston connection you're making there. That makes a lot of sense. I almost want to change my answer from the Cardinals to the Houston Texans.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where it goes because obviously we have so much out there in public recorded that we can't go back, that we feel Ryan Tannehill is a pretty good quarterback. So he's going to go somewhere where he's going to have the opportunity to participate and he won't be on the bench long. I don't see him being a Chad Henne growing out a mustache and not doing anything for 10 years. I can see him going somewhere to where it takes one ankle injury and he comes in and throws 3-4 touchdowns and all of a sudden everybody's questioning whether he should be starting.
Right.
And that's where big things are going to come into play for him. Yeah, he's not going to make the starter money he got with us for the last couple of years, but he's going to make a right opportunity for himself, and there's going to be a lot of teams that want him.
Yeah, he's going to be employed. I mean, you say what you want about Ryan Tannehill, but he's going to be employed for quite a while longer here in the NFL, as long as he wants to be, as far as I'm concerned. And as far as I'm concerned, there's not a whole lot for us to do anymore here in the town of Perfectville. So, Chris, unless you got anything else to say.
No, sir.
On behalf of both of us and DolphinsTalk.com, Podcast Network, goodbye from Perfectville.
Later.